My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's do the sports, Kenny.
Here we go. We're doing the sports,
baby. It's about time. We are revved up. We're ready to go.
This is live. We are doing the sports. It's time to talk about the football and the baseball. There's really no basketball to get into.
Remember, this show is live. Everybody lives and dies by what's this newfangled podcast thing everybody's talking about? We go live.
We are live. It's hardcore, 6 a.m. live sports. Yeah. We're talking the
sports.
You can't
beat it.
The sports is going on. It's hardcore. Good morning. Hi.
Kenny, great to be with you.
Wonderful. Wonderful to see you. Wonderful to hear you. Wonderful to talk to you. It's wonderful all the way around. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I believe in you. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great to be with you.
So you went to the feast yesterday.
I did.
And you said that people basically went out of their way to tell you that they didn't watch the game on Saturday.
I couldn't believe it because I don't get a chance to connect with people in mass the way I used to. So I can't crowdsource as much for the show, but I didn't even think I'd be talking about this much with anybody, but the amount of people I just kind of posted up. We're Dolce Vita. We're in one spot.
Ah.
All the people were passing by. Saw Gibbs, the great Jason Gibbs, walk by with his wife. It was great to meet her. And just kind of a cavalcade of people waving, stopping up. There were listeners of the show. There were friends of the show, just people making their way over. And they wanted to talk about how little they watched of, obviously preseason as a whole.
Was it like a point of pride?
Yeah. I don't know, because they heard us talking about it Friday and they referenced Daryl. So many people
that scoop your eyeballs
remembered
out.
The Daryl comment.
That quote, holy cow, that quote, the scoop your eyeballs out. During the game, I was getting tweets. Am I scooping my eyeballs out yet? Do I scoop them out now? Do I scoop them out later? Now I'm scooping my eyeballs out. Now I got one eyeball out.
You might have had some intel from a Minnesota Vikings coach.
There might have been some intel there about how the second half was going to lay out. So, yeah, it was crazy because, like, last week they at least had guys in uniform. Yeah. Like, they wore their uniforms. This week it was like, nope, everybody was wearing warm-ups. Hanging out, sitting on the training table, like the whole defensive line is sitting on the training table, eating sunflower seeds, talking, just whatever during the game.
Well, my whole life, that was the final preseason game, right? That would be like the fourth and final preseason game.
And I think what's done here, and a lot of people, it's not real football, it's not real football. Well, I can't sit there and defend this preseason game. And the reason is, when you have the joint practices, it's actually found a way. The joint practices are good for the teams. They get together. The ones are on the ones. And we talked about how great MJ Emerson was this week or this last week. And, you know, the offensive line struggle, they did again on Saturday too. We'll talk about that. And the defensive line doing really well. It makes the second preseason game or the preseason game at the end of the week even worse. Because those guys really aren't playing. They got their work in, and now you know going in. So you know that all – for the fan, I'm saying for the fan, you know that there is this thing that you didn't get to see that went on between these two teams for 2 days. You know that you got to hear about – you didn't get to see it – Justin Jefferson and MJ Emerson and the stories we regale you about man, MJ Emerson, that's a $35 million wide receiver he's going up against – and he's giving him the business every single time through. He's doing a great job. This is that, and the other is doing well. And then you get to Sunday, or you get to Saturday, and it's like, all right, like here's Khalif Halassi. He's a fair player. He's played in a Browns uniform in a regular season game before. Like, it's not that type of thing. It's not the same thing. So it tends to take a preseason game, which for about 20 years now we've complained about it being watered down, and you're still paying the same prices and things of that nature. And you found a way to water it down even more.
Is it doubly bad because it was at home? Because had it been on the road, it would have been easier maybe for everybody to just kind of ignore, have on in the background. But because it was a home game, we all knew somebody who was making their way. Like Mitch was going to his first game. We'll have an update on that because apparently it was quite the experience. But for everybody else, like we know somebody who went to the game, but I think a lot of people, you know, I couldn't give my tickets away, which I heard that yesterday, too. I couldn't even find somebody to go.
There were people I knew that might have used it as just an excuse to get the family out and do whatever. If they were given tickets or if they just couldn't give them away, like, fine, we're going. I'm going to go take it in. And I don't know if they stayed. I mean, that rain started coming down in the fourth quarter. It seemed like everybody there was just kind of hanging out and taking in the game. It didn't really get loud. There was kind of some people kind of putting their feet up and enjoying it. But then when the rain started to come down, they kind of used an excuse like, okay, let's go for the day. We've had our fun here. Let's go get in the car and get on out of here. There was not much of a traffic backup whatsoever. The biggest traffic backup I think that was dealt with where I waited just a minute was when the Vikings buses came out They bring the motorcade out, and then everybody has to sit there and wait because, you know, they're not in Brook Park yet, so we only have one way in and one way out. No, I'm kidding. They had to wait for the buses to go through so they can head on over to the airport. Of course, you get the police escort there, so everybody's got to hold back and wait. And it didn't take very long at all, so no big deal. But other than that, it was a game. It had a start. It had a finish. Referees were there. There was field goal attempts and the such, and away we went.
So the big winner this weekend was?
Isaiah Thomas, the defensive lineman. Chris Williams, the defensive lineman. The defensive lineman in general. There you go. There's your big winners. I was going to say Miles Harden. Oh, my God. So Miles Harden had this great pick in the joint practices. And Gibbs is down there going, what do you got for me? Because it's getting down to the thin stuff here. Because at first I'm going, all right, Hakeem Adeniji, former Bengal, former Viking, he's in the game for James Hudson. It sucks that James Hudson hurt his ankle. And then like right as I'm about to say it, they throw that pick. It was nearly a pick six. Adeniji goes down. Yeah. Jermaine Ifedi hurts himself, which he says he's good to go. So, okay. And then later on, I'm like, well, I got Miles Harden. Everybody's loving Miles Harden. Seventh round guy, South Dakota, Miami Gardens. I say that to Gibbs, and like a play later, not even a play later, I see down the sideline, I see the catch, I look up the scoreboard, I went, oh boy, and like right as I look from the scoreboard, whoo, like right, it was like a car coming by me, and there they go, and I got a wide receiver from the Vikings, and Miles Harden's chase, I'm like, damn it. So I'm like, Gibbs goes, well, well done. Going, yeah, I know. So I still mentioned Miles Harden later on. I let a little time slip away. I'm like, man, it's unfortunate that play happened. He had such a good week. And I went to get him in the locker room. And it was, he agreed to give me a couple of minutes in the locker room. He was as nice as he possibly could be about it. He was heartbroken that play had happened. He was so upset. Because it's a tight defensive backs room. I mean, there might be room for one guy. And it's like, can you sneak him on the 53? Like, we're having this big conversation, and all week it's like, man, this guy might have something here where you could sneak him on. And then that play happens, and he's going, man, doesn't look good. Doesn't look good now.
Well, just
I mean, that's the red and the black of it for everybody. It's like one play in this game that nobody's watching, nobody cares about, had that type of effect on his feelings.
But think about just how different that is from so many Browns teams where you'd be watching a preseason and you would develop some of these either camp heroes. Yeah. It'd be folklore for some of the individuals.
Yeah, we're trying.
And then you would build it up as if they had a chance to make the team. And then we'd be talking about the surprise cuts every year. That was a big thing, the surprise cuts.
They cut Josh Lentz and people wanted to, I mean, they wanted to riot out there on the street. That's how upset they were. Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. But, yeah, I found a lot of people probably tried to did something else. You know, if there was something that needed to be done, I don't know. The weather was a little scattershot again. So it's like, did they try to go do yard work? Did they think it was a waste of their time? I don't know. I don't know how people occupied their time. I really don't. I know that there was a football game, and I enjoy football, so I took it in. But, you know, there were times. But, yeah, that was about the most of it. The winners from the game, the losers from the game are the offensive line. I'm worried about this offensive line.
So I've seen people describe this as potential crisis mode. Would you go that far?
It's because they don't have any depth. They have zero depth. You got Michael Dunn, who didn't play yesterday or on Saturday. Luke Whipler's obviously going to be out. They got Nick Harris back. That's nice. Zach Zinter's okay. So, I mean, he's just, you know, he's a pup. He's starting out. And everybody else, like, you get there, and I'm watching on the sidelines, and they are, like, practicing pass sets and sliding together, like, things like that. They're slides, and I'm going, man, this is as rudimentary as it gets. Because Brian Flores was throwing some blitzes at him. And it's like, well, they're still professional football players. It's not like they've never seen a blitz before in their life, for crying out loud. But it was a frustrating day for the offensive line. And I think it left a lot of people going, hey, boy. Because for a long time, this is going to be terrible for Andy Dickerson, I think, for a lot of fans. Because I think that when you replace a guy, he's a Super Bowl head coach. He coached in a Super Bowl. And when you replace a guy like that, that offensive line naturally is going to have some sort of a drawback eventually. It's been 6 years of really good offensive line play. And if that offensive line has injuries to it, Jed Wills is still not cleared to practice.
Well, yeah,
Jack Conklin walks around.
I wrote my notes. Wills, are we ever going to see him?
I don't know. Jack Conklin, by the way, hell of a dresser. But as far as being on the field, I don't know when that's going to happen. So your guess is as good as mine, man. And so a lot of people are like, oh, boy. And right now, as of August 19th, I'm not trying to cause any sort of a panic whatsoever, but I am concerned about the offensive line. I'm concerned with the depth of the offensive line. The starting five is still the starting five. They'll figure a way out to be good, I think. But if one of those guys could, or God forbid, if Jed Wills can't go, I'm going to be a little bit nervous here.
Boy, I thought about it in a term that we hadn't really discussed. We always go over all these different possibilities on how a Brown season could unfold.
Yeah.
And the one thing I didn't really take into consideration until maybe this weekend, when this reality kind of hit home, was that what if Deshaun Watson is back? What if he's really good again? What if he is Houston Texans Watson? What if he's top five QB again, but the offensive line is like bottom third in football?
So we had
that is something I hadn't prepared for, thought about, and maybe you'd say, well, no, he couldn't be top five if the offensive line's that bad. I'm like, I don't know. In Houston, they kind of made do with some offensive lines that were makeshift down there, and he was just kind of running around making plays. You know, you can't really win big in the playoffs that way, but you certainly could have an incredible regular season.
Could it be the worse the offensive line is, the better he is? Could it possibly be that? I'm trying to remember the Texans' offensive line. I got nothing.
No, it was never a standout bunch. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, we go over the different ways this thing could shake out all the time. The one thing we haven't thought of, what if Watson's fine? What if he's good again? But he's running for his life like crazy, and they can't really sustain an offense like that.
Then we're going to be in a lot of trouble, is what that's going to be. Let's see. Final 2020 offensive line rankings, PFF. This is unlocked. I can look at it. busk while I continue to find the Houston Texans offensive line. This is good. The further we go down, the better it is for us. Because he might have to be running.
That's true.
That was that 2020 magical season for him. We're still going. 23. Houston Texans were 23. It says, quote, a lot of things had to go poorly for the Texans for them to get the kind of season they did out of Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, yet still finished with four wins on the season.
Wow.
The offensive line fell into that category of things that did not go according to plan. So possibly is the Browns offensive line, has it been too good the last couple of years? 2-1-6-4-7.
Well, if you wanted to unlock...
I'm not trying to panic anybody. It's not, like, again, the starting offensive line should be good. If any of them go down, we're going to be watching a little bit brighter-eyed. Here you go. Sorry.
So then it sounds like not crisis mode, though, because you still believe in the guys that...
I believe in the starters.
...that are going to be playing. But that Shedrick Wills thing...
That's the case. I can't say full-throated that I'm hunky-dory and everything's fine because he's still not cleared to practice.
You've been around a bunch. We've had Daryl on a bunch. We've had the beat writers on. Was this ever the plan? Like, how did it get to this with Jedrick Wills?
I don't know. It guys heal differently. There's always different injuries. Like, it doesn't help that DeJuan Jones is an Ohio State guy. Everybody loves him except Daryl last week, apparently. He's an Ohio State guy. He's back. He's practicing. He's getting his work in. So, and it, depending on what you hear, well, they had similar injuries. All right, well, one guy's back, and it looks like he's ready to go week one against Dallas, and the other guy, it's street clothes still. And already, he's not in the best graces of Browns fans. So, yeah, they're going to find reasons to go after him. So there's a lot of things here that just go poorly in the narrative for Jed Wills, for Andy Dickerson, for everybody there. So, yeah, the offensive line, for the first time, you're going to have to dust off that old argument. Like, for the first time, this offensive line is going to be something to watch. And it's been about 6 years since we've had a questionable offensive line. So that's something that a lot of people are going to be worried about, definitely. But from that game, guys, I'm not going to try to panic anybody. From that game in particular, it's hard to glean anything from what you saw. I mean, Deontay Foreman getting back was okay. Like, that was nice to see him back after the scary thing that happened at the Greenbrier with that neck injury. It's good to see him get in the end zone. Dorian Thompson-Robinson did all right. Tyler Huntley, there was a couple of stupid interceptions that happened. I don't know how many of them. One was his fault. The other one wasn't. Tough stuff. Kevin Stefanski yesterday in his Zoom call with the assembled Cleveland media gave an update on those offensive tackle injuries.
James Hudson has an ankle injury. He won't play this week, but he will be back soon. Jermaine should be good to go. Had a hand injury, but he's good to go. Hakeem is out for a little bit with a knee injury, which is, I'm disappointed for him.
That's Kevin Stefanski on the offensive line injury. So Hakeem Adeniji not going to be available to you as a backup for a while. James Hudson's one that I think they were trying to make him into the Chris Hubbard for the future there. And now he left in a boot on Saturday, so I don't know how long. Obviously, you know, Kevin talks about that. That might be a little bit. So you got some questions there on that offensive line with some of those injuries. And Kevin Stefanski, his plan for Deshaun Watson on Saturday is?
The plan is for him to play. I always take in information, so I'm going to make sure I talk to and work through that this week. I'm not going to get into who plays and how much just yet, but going to certainly work through that in the next couple of days.
A series, two, a quarter?
Everything's on the table, but like I mentioned last night, I think what we have to do is just always, we have a plan, look at it, see what's available. Do we want to alter anything? So we'll work through that in the next couple of days.
You'd still play him.
Everything's on the table, Kenny. Can you imagine?
Everything's
four
there.
Quarters, the entire game. I would still play him. Obviously, you're going to be very careful.
I don't mean to live in my fears. I don't know if I
No, I get it. I'm not going to scream at anybody who says shouldn't play at all. I mean, that's been me in the past. I mean, there have been years where I'm like, no, I'm not playing my starting quarterback at all. Can't have him get injured. I just think at this point with like his, I do wonder about his mindset. I wonder his confidence levels. And I think part of getting his confidence back to where it maybe used to be and getting him to somewhat resemble the guy he used to be is to just start to get him out there. And I just don't know that you can go an entire preseason after missing all those games last year, having 2 years where he only played in 12 games, and really the 11 games is what I look at with that Indy game. I don't really count as a start. I just think he needs to be out there a little bit. And I do think you can control it. I do think you can scheme it to be fairly safe, regardless of who's out there.
By running the ball. I mean, if you turn around and hand the ball off a whole bunch and do that, that's fine. But are you running an offense? Like, I'm not trying to feel like the sky is falling here, but we're 17 days away from the season kicking off. And so I want to make sure that he's there, and I want to make sure that we, because we got to figure out what we're doing, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. He is the biggest investor.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Investment that you've ever had in terms of the franchise, he's got to be out there and he's got to be comfortable, and I got to make him comfortable, and I have to make sure he's protected. Like, I'm looking at this depth chart right now, Tone. I got nobody new here. Now, I'm sure we're bringing someone in new here over the next couple of days, but that still doesn't instill a whole bunch of confidence with me, because, all right, no Jed Wills yet because he's still not cleared to practice. DeJuan Jones is okay. Do I want to put DeJuan Jones over at left tackle? So many fans immediately would say yes. And I immediately would say, why would I want to put him out there at left tackle in a live ball game for the first time since, what, his freshman year? I think he played some snaps a freshman year at left tackle with Ohio State, and then put him out there and have to protect Deshaun Watson. Like, that's probably not a recipe for success for a lot of folks out there. Jack Conklin, again, he's not ready, it seems, so I don't know who I put out there. And so I got 4/5 of an offensive line that's going to be fine. I don't know about the fifth one, and it's a very important one with the left tackle, Anthony.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, I could go right into week one with the same situation, but at least that game's going to count.
Right. No, I get that, too. Something stuck with me, and we're going to have Zach Jackson on later. In his piece over the weekend after the preseason game, He said something that I think I've taken for granted, and it's an obvious thing. It's something we all know for a football player who hasn't played in a game since last November. But Zach wrote that he hasn't taken a hit. I mean, he's a quarterback that has not taken a hit. It's not really happening, you know, in the preseason, obviously, to this point. It's not something, if you've been out of practice every day, that's happening. And I kind of would like to see – I know, again, it sounds weird because it's going to be a makeshift offensive line, but kind of want him to be a football player again. And I don't know if we can wait with the stakes as high as they'll be in that opener against the Dallas Cowboys for Micah Parsons barreling down on him for that to be his first hit. I just don't think that's what you'd envision. That's what you think would be appropriate for him in this season. It's tough. It's tough. I'm not screaming at you. I'm not like
I'm not screaming at you either. Because
I'm trying to talk through it.
You're right. No, he needs some seasoning there. And it's like, man, if it were me as the head coach of the Browns, I wish I wouldn't have said anything publicly last week. Because now my plan is to play him.
Oh boy, there's something there.
My plan was to play him. And they account for everything, and then I would go, well, if I didn't say anything, you know, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start Jameis, and we're going to let him get the reps here. But
then what's the reaction?
But then it's week one, and it's the first time you're going to be out there since last year. You've held back this entire time. He's been approved for takeoff for everybody there, but I'm going to hold him back because of his offensive line isn't good. Like, there's no good answer there.
And
there's really no good answer.
Just for clarification, like Coach finally said right throughout this week that he's full go. There's no limitations. He's your quarterback. There's nothing the doctors.
He was last week. It was just a typical don't be hitting the guy in the red jersey.
Yes.
Like, that's what it was. So my offensive line is behind the starters is in tatters. It's an odd thing to say. So I got four or five guys, but I don't have my left tackle. Left tackle is pretty important. I got to have my left tackle there. I don't want to put him in harm's way in a game that doesn't count, but I also know that he hasn't been hit since November 12th of last year. It's been a long time since he's been hit, as Zach wrote. So now I got to see whether or not – I'm not just putting him out there to get hit, but I got to put him out there with the possibility for him to get hit. Have the heart pumping at a different level. Get that sort of adrenaline going in a different way where guys are actually trying to get him. I mean, this is a very difficult decision to make. And so I wish, if it were me, I wouldn't have said anything publicly. But I just played out the scenario. If you didn't say anything publicly and you didn't play him on Saturday, well, why didn't you play him on Saturday? Is he ready to go? Then I got to answer questions of whether or not he's actually ready to go. Well, why won't you play him? Well, because of the offensive line. Are you telling us your offensive line isn't that good? Like, then I'm starting to walk myself into situations that he would never do it because he doesn't answer questions like that in the preseason. But these are things that you and I, over the next 17 days, would speculate.
It's like if he were to reverse course and say, hey, because of exactly what you're talking about, because of the offensive line, and we feel like we got enough work in that's good, and we feel very confident about Deshaun Watson, and he just didn't play him in this preseason game. Do you think that would inspire some panic in some circles of Browns fandom?
Yes. I think there's a lot of things that people are ready to panic about at this moment, and they're waiting for that moment that they can go ahead and hit the green button on doing that. Let me get to Tom and Menor first. Tom, hello. You're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys. Great to hear you every single Monday.
Thank you.
Listen, I got my Super Bowl tickets in my hand over here real quick, but my question is this. So we're going to take a quarterback that is typically a slow starter, doesn't really go ahead and get ready till game four or game five in the season. He's not going to go ahead and take any hits in the preseason. He's barely going to play, if at all. And somehow, some way, this is a recipe for success for the most important person, player on our team, on our field at any moment. I'm hoping we can go ahead
I want to ask, what do you think the recipe is?
I think he's got to get out there and he's got to play.
Well, that's why they're going to put him out there. They're going to play him. I mean, you're arguing with me then.
No, I'm going to tell you something. I'll believe it when I see it, because at this point, if he's been full go and ready to go and we've still chosen not to go and play him, I am concerned and I am worried. And I can't wait to go and hear some more rhetoric about how good the Baltimore game in the second half.
He's only been clear for contact over the last week. He was out there with the ones, but he's a typical red jersey. You weren't going to put him out there on Saturday against the Vikings with that offensive line regardless.
Why not? That's going to be the
offensive line. You want Javion Cohen protecting your $230 million quarterback. Is that what you really want?
Why wouldn't we put the first-team offensive line out there?
You want Javion Cohen to protect your $230 million quarterback if you have a choice.
Ken, if we have so many concerns about not only the consistency.
Answer the question. You didn't answer the question, Tom. Answer it.
I'll answer it if you let me ask one.
You answer first, and then you can ask your question.
Can I ask second?
I love you the best. No, I certainly would not.
Okay.
Go ahead and let go and protect my $252 million.
Now ask me another question. Now go ahead and ask me the question.
So if we have so much concern and we are so worried about communication, ability, and the team to go ahead and gel together, why wouldn't you go ahead and trot out the best offensive line that you can put out there for a series or two and let them go and protect our $252 million investment? Because eventually it's going to be live go. And we were not going up against Micah Parsons, and we were not going up against Dallas's first team. Wouldn't it be great to go and be like Green Bay and Jordan Love and go right down the field and go and score a touchdown?
But he wasn't cleared for contact at that moment.
Eventually, we have to get out there, Ken.
And we're going in circles, Tom. Thank you for the call. He's going to be put out there on Saturday with the starting offensive, 4/5 of the starting offensive line. I'm still concerned because it's Jed Wills not out there still, which I know that he's not God's gift to the position, but he's still the best you have at that spot right now. So if he wasn't cleared before and he was in the team joint practices over the last week, now he's going to play on Saturday against Seattle. So you're mad at something that is going to happen anyway. You wanted something to happen. It's happening anyway. So now we're just mad to be mad. Can't be mad to be mad.
We don't need to start the week off like this. Come on.
Yeah, give me a reason to be mad.
Well, unfortunately, it's going to be one of those. After this weekend, a huge showdown. We said going into the weekend, all right, good. Another measuring stick weekend for the Guardians. And they, to me, had succeeded, or at least they had been able to draw even over the last month in some big series. But this week,
Lima no likes.
They got swept, Kenny. Not only did they get swept,
Lima no likes.
The offense went into the hole. You only,
Lima likes,
gave up 9 runs.
Lima no likes.
But your offense was even worse with 2 hits yesterday. And you get shut out. It was ugly. Kenny, how much were you able to see over the weekend?
I saw quite a bit.
Which was a big series.
Quite a bit. It was frustrating.
I'm not going to diminish it and just say, like, you had been critical of me over the last, I would say, few weeks that I wasn't living and dying with every game. And I kept saying, well, hey, the record, last week when we left the show on Friday, I'm like, Ken, best record in baseball. They've slipped a little bit, obviously, and now it's not really all of a sudden because we've been monitoring throughout, but that gap in the Central is down to, what are we, 2 games?
Yeah.
I mean, they basically wiped out that huge edge, that huge buffer. They had a buffer that they had in this division.
The division had plenty of buffers.
yeah, buffer.
Yeah, buffers. Told you. I'm not going to give away what I'm going to sell at 7 o'clock, but I told you.
Well, you told me what?
I thought you were being fraudulent. I thought you weren't. You were doing your very best to not see the possibilities and the truth. And you made me out to be the bad guy, which congratulations.
Well, you were the bad guy.
I was not.
You were.
No, I wasn't. I was trying to be pragmatic, and I was trying to have common sense.
You were picking apart the wins in a way that I don't think we typically do that with the other teams.
Well, here we are.
So, we could do this whole segment.
I'm a no likes.
I mean, Stephen Kwan's down to 315.
I'm a no likes.
They have been down in the first inning in 14 of their first 15 games. They have allowed the other team to score first. I mean, the numbers are obvious. I know it's not exactly rocket science here. Anybody that's watching them knows that they're getting down early every game. And they know the consequences of that because when they are winning early, when they get off to a good start, they're incredible. They're 45-12, you know, when they get off to that early good start. So this is totally flipped the script here.
Yep.
And I don't know I don't know what it is because, you know, you look at their lineup. Normally it's like the bottom of the lineup that they've got guys that seemingly shouldn't be part of a really good baseball lineup. They've been able to piecemeal together despite that. But now when you're struggling at the top of the lineup, too, it's like, all right, start to finish, the lineup is struggling.
But is it as easy as they ran into the hottest team in baseball right now? Because that's what they did. The Brewers are as hot as it gets.
They did. I will tell you this.
Lima likes.
You know what? I had myself a weekend, Kenny.
Good.
At the feast.
Lima likes.
Got to get out. I got to experience life again. Got to have some drinks.
Ooh,
Lime drinks.
I saw our mutual friend, Benny Romance.
How's he doing?
Oh, nice. He looked even... The hair's getting darker.
No.
As time goes by. I can't figure it out.
It's like the Benjamin Button of singers.
It is amazing. Oh, he had the dance moves going. Izzy was good. Dancing.
Oh, she should have.
Over the weekend.
That's so good.
However,
Lima no likes.
Found the only place left on planet Earth where it's cash only.
Oh, you haven't been in my barbershop lately?
What?
Oh, yeah, it's cash only, brother.
Only cash?
Oh, yeah. You probably don't like me telling everybody that, but yeah, it's cash only. That's you bring.
I understand. I was kind of living over there at the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at least the fees aren't as bad as, you know, some of the places late night I used to go to, because those were the worst fees of all time. And, you know, what are you going to do? You need cash. You need
cash. You got to get cash.
There's only certain things.
That's a cash business.
Can't barter anything else. It's going to be cash.
You're hitting the slopes, babe. That's cash.
But in this case, I mean, should I have been surprised? I don't remember the fees being only cash. Like, we've gotten to segments of society where it's cashless. I mean, the OHSAA, that became a huge, huge sticking point, to the point where there was almost a revolt last year with the OHSAA.
I like cash, but I hate change. I hate coins. I hate it. God, do I hate coins. But I like cash. I like the paper.
Yeah. I've got a bag of coins at home that I feel like I just need to go and get Izzy or Mason a piggy bank.
Throw them in there and get it started?
I've been throwing, through the Tremont years, I had just consistently thrown all the coins into this bag that would break, and then I'd throw it into another bag, and it would break. And at
throwing
some point...
Throwing 529.
Yeah, at some point, you'd think I would just figure it out. You can't really put coins under the mattress.
No.
So, I don't know. But overall, it was a good weekend. I did also realize that...
Lima no likes.
With two kids, the stroller, the diaper bag... And all my own possessions, it's kind of hard to walk around with a drink. Can't really do it.
I find a way.
How did you get through it?
The diaper bag, it wasn't a big damn deal. That was, you're just carrying my wife's Vera Wang bag. That's all it was. Vera Bradley. It was Vera Bradley. That's what that was.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah. That was the designs. Are those still in for the ladies? I'm not sure. Anyway,
Bradley or Wang, call in.
Bradley or Wang, give us a call. What was the other things you were carrying?
Well, just between, I got the phone, the wallet, the AirPods.
We have pants, so yeah. That's fine there.
Then just having to feed Mason. Now I've got his bottle. I've got a wife who the minute we got there at the restaurant, I guess I whacked her with the diaper bag.
Oh, good.
And it was already panic mode.
Okay.
From the early going.
Excellent.
It's just, I got to figure out a better system.
You clearly
do. To be able to do that. Especially in crowds. I think that's the big problem, is there's just a huge crowd and you have to move everybody. And then you've got a toddler that won't sit still. And you've got a baby who, I don't know, it's 6 months, Kenny. It's six months.
It's only going to get easier. She's going to be older. He's going to be older. Yes, it's going to get easier. They all move now. They're all ambulatory now, so it doesn't matter. Like, we move around. That's no big deal. I can trust them now to get in the car by themselves. Like, I don't need to go and do all the rigmarole and the seats. It does. It gets easier for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't say, like, we're not going to the feast next year because of this. No.
All right.
You only go to the feast more after this.
Now, should we, next time I get the chance... Take the kids to
Lima Lights.
10-cent beer night with the captains.
Was that a good promotion yesterday?
Yeah, I wanted to know about it because I know there was weather situation that went down. Did we hear from any of it? Was anybody climbing the foul poles?
How long did it last? What was the catch?
The schedule was from 12 to 1 p.m. during a day game. So it was 10-cent beer hour during the day.
Okay, so what time did the game start? What was first pitch?
1.
Oh, so it was 1 o'clock, so you had to be there early.
Gates open at 12, right?
You know how many beers you can drink in an hour for 10 cents each?
Down at Ohio State, we had our bars that were penny drafts. But that was the promotion to get you in. Everybody would get there. You'd get a few. But then it was like until the keg ran dry or the line just got too long And so then you just go up to the normal bar and just start buying normal drinks because it kind of sucked. Yeah. So these promotions, they always sounded great on paper. They never really worked out to the satisfaction, to the degree that you were hoping or expected. Did you guys have that at all down at Akron? The penny drafts?
No.
No? Nothing?
No.
What would it have been like? How would that have gone down?
It was like, hey, get in here. You ain't got anywhere else to go. You don't want to be outside. Okay, you can go to Kent. Like, that's kind of the way it went. That's, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like that. At least I don't remember. Maybe it was with some other people.
All right, I think we had a
Lime
proud Papa moment over the weekend, Kenny.
Yes, we did.
I got your video.
Yes, you did.
And...
Oh, everybody got it.
I told everybody.
Well, Owen had a breakdown.
Owen has a breakdown.
Oh, I'm ready.
So, Axel, we had a scrimmage on Saturday against Ravenna. I wasn't even there. I wasn't even on his side of the field to see it. I was on the other end with the fifth and sixth grade, and I heard the crowd, and I just didn't think anything of it. I was down at the other end getting defenses set up and stuff like that. And I was leaving because I had to come up to the Browns game. And I was like, all right, anything I need to know? They're like, Axel got a catch. I said, Axel got a what? They go, yeah, he made a catch.
A what?
I said, no. He goes, yeah. I go, how long was it? He goes, like, about 15, 20 yards.
Before we get into all that.
Oh, nitty-gritty football. Yeah.
It's time for nitty-gritty football.
Break it down.
Jameson Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
I'm ashamed to say this, but I had to. I got here to the stadium. I got to the stadium. And I got in the huddle. I just got huddle. And I got in the huddle and tried to find the play. And I finally found the play where he caught the pass. I sent it to Owen. I sent it to everybody. I said, there are coaches of the Browns who know about my son's catch. Which I sent it to a certain coach in the Big 12. And his first question was, who's the quarterback throwing that pass? I went, well, that was a backfire
right,
for me.
A little crude.
Yeah, looking at something else.
Give me the what was the breakdown
well,
here?
I thought it was an excellent route by young Axel. He's originally split out. Looks like he's playing X.
Yep.
He ends up. He goes about 12 yards down the field. He's looking back behind him and notices that the quarterback is drifting left, right? Going out of the pocket. So instead of just stopping or curling, he actually turns and he curls to the outside. Makes a great play.
What an adjustment.
What's the quarterback's name?
Carter.
Carter makes a great throw. He's off a back foot, guys.
Back foot
throw.
He saw it too.
Axel, instead of either stopping early or running out of the route, because the safety has left him, they're in a zone coverage right now.
Definitely.
Quarterback sets down on the flats in the under route, and young Axel, when he curls out, makes a great play, hauls it in. I'd like to see him go out with his hands a little more.
Yeah, me too.
And go get that ball, but he did let it get into the body, and he hauled it in.
I gotta tell you, I'm seeing a guy that can run the routes. I'm already putting him up there as somebody creates some separation.
Well, I would say Axel Carman, you know, he's deceptive.
Oh, he's a gym rat.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a gym rat. Yeah, he's sneaky athletic.
He does the work.
And, student of the game.
And he's already developing the type. How long has Patrick Mahomes developed that chemistry?
I mean, that's been a decade now.
Okay, that's been 10 years. How long has your kid been on this earth? And he's already got that kind of chemistry.
9 years, yeah.
9 years. He's got that kind of chemistry with his QB. I'm impressed.
I mean, he's already getting early comparisons to Ladd McConkey.
Oh, is that right?
Charles Davis, man. Because I was sending it to everybody I possibly could. No, I didn't even send it to him. All right.
That's it for Lime Alliance.
Sorry, I almost ended your segment by accident. I'm sorry. I know we're late.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.